God's Word comes to us this morning from the Old Testament book of Lamentations. In the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 584. Those of you who, you know, have all the books of the Bible memorized, you know that the prophetic books begin with Isaiah and then Jeremiah, and then before Ezekiel comes Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, we read what are traditionally understood to be words of Jeremiah. The book of Lamentations itself is anonymous. It doesn't say anywhere who the author is, but historically we believe that it comes from the mind and heart of the prophet Jeremiah. So, Lamentations chapter 3, we begin with the verse numbered 19. May we give our full and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy word. Jeremiah says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The Bible tells us that the grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. May God bless to your hearts and minds this reading from His holy word. Let's pray. Speak to us from Your Word today, Lord God. When life is unfair, when life is scary, when we go through changes, when sadness and grief are part of our lives, and in the good times of life as well, help us to hear Your voice speaking to us. We thank You for Your word. We rejoice that it is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, that even though it was written centuries ago, still in Your word, through Your word, by Your word, You still speak. So speak to us today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts and minds to understand, to believe, to embrace Your truth for us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you have already seen and heard, we had a roaring good time at our Roar VBS this past week. Julie Cloutier and her team did just a magnificent job of leading the children from our church and community in a safari-themed experience that included dinner each night for children and their families, fun activities, many of which involve water, crafts, music, Bible lessons, to teach the children that though life is sometimes wild and often unpredictable, God is always good. Always. no matter what. Each evening there was a Bible lesson based on a different theme. The theme the first evening was, when life is unfair, God is good. The second evening, when life is scary, God is good. The third evening, when life changes, God is good. The fourth evening, when life is sad, God is good. The fifth evening, when life is good, God is good. And you know, all these things are true, and they're not just for kids. They're biblical truths for all of life, no matter your age. Life is sometimes unfair, isn't it? Bad things do happen to good people. Sometimes bad people do bad things and get away with it. Sometimes people cheat and get away with it. Sometimes people who do evil get ahead in this world, and people who do what is right suffer for it. When any of these things happens to you or to someone you love or to anyone, God is still good. When you're falsely accused of something or punished for something you didn't do, it doesn't feel good, does it? It isn't good. But sometimes it happens. When it does, it does not change the truth about God. God is still good. There's never a time when God is not good. When life is hard, when your job is hard, when school is hard, when your marriage is hard, when parenting is hard, when getting along with your parents or your brothers or sisters is hard, when relationships are hard, when someone lets you down, God is still good. As our children learned this past week from the book of the prophet Nahum, Nahum 1 verse 7, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. When life is scary, and face it, this world can be a scary place, God is still good. David in the Old Testament knew what it was like to be afraid. His life was frequently in danger. But David knew what to do with his fear. In Psalm 56, he said to the Lord, "When I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Well, you know, the truth is that mortal men, evil, wicked people, can do a lot of evil, wicked, frightful things to us. And yet, amid all the dangers, toils, and snares of this life, David knew that God is still on the throne. God is still God. God is still good. And God is still trustworthy. As a result, David could say in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I remember Steve Brown telling about a woman who would say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No one here. Nobody here to fear." It doesn't matter how young or old you are, life is sometimes scary, isn't it? But God is still good. And He wants us to replace our fear of this or that. Maybe it's a fear of the future or fear of the unknown or fear of illness or suffering or some other calamity in life beyond our control. He wants us to replace our fear with faith in Him, because He's God and He's good and He's trustworthy. Our VBS children also learned that when life changes, God is good. Change, of course, is one of the constants in life. The weather changes, and we hope it will become a little less hot and humid this week. Seasons change. People change, for better or worse. Your health changes. Circumstances change. Technology changes. The economy changes. Political winds change. Jobs change. Families move. Sometimes change is good, but not always. And even if it is good, change can still be hard because we get used to the way things are. So change itself can be scary. But when life changes, even if that change makes us uncomfortable, God is still God. He's still on that higher throne. And God never changes. Jesus, as it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As Psalm 106, verse 1 urges us, we can give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. In other words, God's love for us does not change and never will change because God does not change. Paul says it this way in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, if we are unfaithful, God will remain faithful. For He cannot disown Himself. No matter what happens to you or to someone you love, no matter what tragedies or catastrophes take place in the world, God does not and will not change. When life changes, God is still good. Always. It's also true, our children learned, that when life is sad, God is good. You know, the ultimate occasion of sadness and grief took place when Jesus was condemned to die and was crucified on a Roman cross for your sins and mine. Nothing in the history of the world has ever compared to the injustice that occurred on the cross, where the sinless Son of God willingly sacrificed His life for a world full of undeserving sinners. In the death of Jesus for us, we see the ultimate expression of the goodness of God. The cross shows that God understands the sadness, the grief, the pain we sometimes feel. Because of the sadness and grief and loss He experienced in the death of His Son. God understands your grief. God understands your hurt. God understands the pain you sometimes feel in your heart. David bears witness in Psalm 34:18 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Elsewhere, the Bible urges us to cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. He cares for you right where you are. In the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, you can cast all your cares on Him without fear of rejection or ridicule because He cares for you. When life is unfair, God is good. When life is scary, God is good. When life is hard, God is good. When life changes, God is good. When life is sad, God is good. When bad things happen, God is good. When people let you down, God is good. When you receive bad news, God is good. When you feel like your heart is breaking, God is good. In all these things, God is good. And yes, when life is good, God is good. When you feel like life just couldn't get any better than this, God is good. When you're basking in the warmth and gentle breeze of God's blessings, God is good. In those times and always, as Nehemiah said to the people who are helping to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember the Lord who's great and awesome. Remember the Lord. And never stop giving Him thanks and praise. Life can get pretty wild. Some of you know that better than others. Sometimes life is kind of like whitewater rafting. I've only done it a couple of times, and that's probably enough for me. Some of you may enjoy the adventure, the thrill of whitewater rafting. It's a kind of picture of how wild life can get. But no matter how wild life gets, never forget that God is still good. It's awfully easy to say, God is good. But what do we mean? What does it really mean to say that God is good? In the midst of the hard things, the hard times, the painful experiences of life, well, first of all, to say that God is good means that He is, well, He's morally perfect. He's the standard of moral perfection. Morally speaking, God has no flaws, no pimples, no blemishes, no stains on His record, no demerits. He is perfectly righteous in His character and conduct. Perfectly just. Perfectly holy, perfectly good. He does nothing wrong. He cannot do anything wrong. Now, not everything that happens is good. Not everything that happens in this life, in this world, is pleasing to God. God has given us freedom to make choices, and the human race has used this freedom to rebel against God, to turn away from Him and to go our own way. But as flawed as we are, there's no flaw in God. He's intrinsically good. Always. And in always. But it's not enough simply to acknowledge that God is morally good. There's more to it than that. God's goodness is seen in every attribute of His character. Think of God's proclamation to Moses of His name and character on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 34. He said, "The Lord," this is God speaking, "the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished." This is God speaking about Himself. J.I. Packer points out in his classic Knowing God, here is the copy that Mary Sue and I have that is falling apart because of how often we've used it over the years. Packer points out in Knowing God that God's truthfulness and trustworthiness, His unfailing justice and wisdom, His tenderness, forbearance, and entire adequacy to all who penitently seek His help, His noble kindness in offering us the exalted destiny of fellowship with Him in holiness and love. These things together make up God's goodness. In the overall sense of the sum total of all His revealed excellences. Packer goes on to say that the quality of generosity, which he defines as a disposition to give to others in a way that has no mercenary motive. In other words, God is not nice to us in order to get something from us. And he gives to others in a way that is not limited by what the recipients deserve. This is the focal point of God's moral perfection, which is another way of speaking about God's grace. Grace that comes free of charge to people like us who don't deserve it and never will. When we say that God is good, it is not a simplistic, childlike slogan designed to make us feel better when life is unfair or when bad things happen or when we're afraid or when life changes or when we get bad news or when we're sad. It's not just a pious mantra to repeat to ourselves over and over again or to repeat to others who need to be cheered up. It's much, much more than that. It is a reminder of who God is in the midst of all our circumstances and experiences in life. It's a reminder of God's intrinsic goodness, a reminder that there is no defect or flaw in either God's character or conduct. It's also a reminder that God is perfectly wise, a reminder that God's purposes for us for this world are good. A reminder that God's ways are always good, even if His ways are mysterious to us. Even if we can't see or understand what God is up to or why He allows what He allows, especially when life seems unfair or when evil seems to prevail. We affirm by faith that God's ways are always good. It's a reminder that God's plans for His people are good. And that, as Paul says in Romans 8:28, He is constantly at work for good in the lives of those who love Him and have been called according to His redeeming purpose. All this said, it's not always easy to see that God is good. If Andrew Brunson went through a period of doubting God's goodness when he was in prison in Turkey, who among us could blame him for that? Praise God that by the grace of God, he came through it. He came through not only his time of doubt and spiritual depression, but through his imprisonment as well. Jerry Sitzer, the author of a magnificent book called A Grace Disguised, and its companion, A Grace Revealed. Jerry Sitzer lost his wife, two of his four children, and his mother, when their family van was hit head-on by a drunk driver. Talk about life being unfair. Talk about life being sad. Talk about a horrible grief and loss. God is good. But sometimes it's almost impossible for us to see how God can be good, especially when evil or tragedy or injustice hits us head on at full speed. If you're not familiar with either of these books, my goodness, I commend them to you. Sitzer talks so honestly about the struggle of his soul in that incredible personal tragedy to discover and hold on to the truth of God's grace and goodness. And then, you know, there's Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because the stubborn sinfulness of the people of Jerusalem and Judah as a whole just broke his heart and brought him often to tears. As a prophet, Jeremiah had an unenviable task. His mission was to be God's messenger to a people who refused to listen to him. He carried out his mission faithfully for over 40 years. You know, if they had done polls back in his day, Jeremiah's approval rating would have been in the single digits, if that high. For speaking God's word, he was thrown into prison, and on another occasion into a cistern, which served as a prison in his case. He was rejected by his family, friends, and neighbors. He was opposed by false prophets and priests and by the kings of Judah, five kings of Judah, who didn't like his message from God. Jeremiah was obedient and faithful to God, and it cost him big time. And you can see the heart of Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3. The book of Lamentations is a series of funeral songs lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem and the conquest of the nation of Judah by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And the subsequent exile of many of the citizens of Jerusalem and Judah. These laments in the book of Lamentations express deep sorrow over what has happened to God's people because of their stubborn refusal to turn away from their sin and to come back to God. Now, in chapter 3, Jeremiah gets personal. It gets intensely personal. And I want you to listen as he describes the depths of his own pain and suffering, starting in verse 1 of Lamentations chapter 3. He says, "I'm the man who has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. He's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he's turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He's made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He's besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He's walled me in so I cannot escape. He's weighed me down with chains. Even when I cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. He's barred my way with blocks of stone. He's made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target of his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He's broken my teeth with gravel. He's trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone. and all that I'd hoped from the Lord. Jeremiah had served God faithfully for decades. He'd obeyed God at great personal cost. He had consistently spoken God's word to a hard-hearted and sinful nation. And this is what he'd gotten in return. If anyone ever could say that life is unfair, it was Jeremiah. But this is not the end or the sum total of Jeremiah's testimony. Jeremiah doesn't deny how he feels. And after saying it, he doesn't delete it from his Twitter account, but he does proceed to put it in perspective by what he says next, because he says, yes, I remember my affliction and my wandering. I remember the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. Who could forget? And my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah found his hope not in the politics of his day, not in the comforts of this life, not in the popularity of his message, which is basically non-existent. He found his hope, rather, in the goodness of God. By God's grace, Jeremiah was able to trace the goodness of God in the threads of God's unchanging love, compassion, and faithfulness woven through the whole of his life. When life is unfair or just plain hard, God is good. God is loving. And it's because of His great love, His covenant love, His faithful love, His never-ending love, His everlasting love for us, for undeserving sinners, that we are not consumed by His righteous anger. God is merciful and compassionate. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. God is faithful. His faithfulness, the Bible says over and over and over again, His faithfulness continues through all generations. When life is scary, when people let you down, God is trustworthy. God keeps His promises. His character does not change. He will not let go of you. His grace is and will always be sufficient for you. When life changes or threatens to overwhelm you, God is good. And God is sovereign. He's still on the throne of the universe. Nothing can ever happen to you that is outside the boundaries of His sovereign rule, which means that nothing can ever happen that God does not have the power to redeem. And nothing can ever separate you from His love. Our VBS children learned this week that when life is unfair or scary or unpredictable or sad or fill in the blank, God is good, no matter what. May we all learn the same truth. Trust and rest in the goodness of God. knowing that He is able, more than able, to do much more than we could ever ask or think or hope or dream or imagine, because of His power that is at work in us. Do not ever believe for even a moment that God is not good. Even in the darkest hour of your life, do not ever believe that God is not sovereign, or that He is not faithful, or that He is not able to accomplish what concerns you today, or to handle anything that comes your way, for now or eternity. He is able. He is faithful. He is sovereign. He is good. Believe it. Hold on to it. Live it. Lord, let it be so in us.